Anyway, this hour we'll be dealing with UFOs and things like that, and we have a very interesting fellow on the line from Phoenix, Arizona. He's been downstairs at the National New Age Alien Agenda and Cosmic Conspiracy Conference, and we'll be getting him on the air here very shortly. He's on his way up to his room right now, I understand, and so we'll be bringing him on. Have any interesting UFO stories? I think I've probably told of them all, most of my UFO stories over the years. I'm really, as I told several people there at the conference last night, I'm pretty, you've heard of revenue neutral. I'm UFO neutral. I just, on one hand, it sounds pretty interesting and incredible. On the other hand, I'm not sure I really believe it. It's kind of like Santa Claus, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of us out there that would probably call in and say, hey, that's exactly what it is. But maybe there's other people that take a little different approach to it. Now, the 50 speakers, the 34 workshops, and all of the big displays and everything at this conference, I noticed most of them were what I would call fringies. Not all of them, but there were some people that like Bill Cooper and a few others that have some pretty wild stories to tell. I don't know whether I want to accept them at face value or not. I did this a little bit with Dr. Brian O'Leary, who had some personal ET experiences. And really, he's more into the cosmic thought processes. I'm not into that part of this thing, I don't think. I'm not into that yet. Maybe somebody can convince me this hour that I should be. I'd like to think of myself being a little more realistic. And as I was looking around the conference to find somebody a little more realistic than some of these people there, I ran across Bill English, who Bill has quite a story to tell. In addition to he's been in the UFO business and has a kind of an interesting thing with computers that he does. And we'll let Bill explain all that to you. Bill, how are you feeling tonight?
I'm doing real well. Thank you, Jerry, and thank you for inviting me to appear on your show.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I noticed, you know, as we were both kind of walking around leering into the booths and things, we struck a kind of a conversation, and we both felt basically the same thing about Bill Cooper and a few of the others.
Yeah, I'm afraid we did.
Yeah, and like I was telling the audience just before, while you were on the way up to your room to get on the air here, I was telling the audience that this particular conference, and this is the fifth time I think they've had it, they really have some more. I would call them the fringies of the business. I don't know how you'd phrase them.
Well, there are definitely some very unusual people here.
When we get back, let's introduce the audience to you and where you're coming from. Give them an idea, using old terminology, and then we'll open up the phones and take a few calls, if it's okay with you, Bill.
That's fine.
Well, we're dealing with UFOs tonight. We have Bill English on the line, and he's at the hotel, a Holiday Inn on Peoria there in Phoenix, right off I-17. And Bill English, why don't you explain to the listeners what your connection is with UFOs and why you're even at a convention like this? You have an interesting business.
Yeah, I do. Initially, my involvement with UFOs started back in 1977. I was working for the government as a data analyst at the time for the NSA as a civilian, and I was stationed in England.
Did you say the National Security Agency?
Right.
Okay.
I was stationed in England at a little base called RAF Chexans, which was a listening base, what we refer to as a listening post, which monitored radio transmission from the Soviet bloc nation. And it was my job to analyze documents and data that was received through the electronic monitoring systems.
So, in effect, you guys had some antennas out there, and you were picking up all of the radio signals you could, and TV, just radio. Audio, was that all you were picking, audio?
Radio transmission.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times those transmissions were on military wavelengths, and the antennas that were being used were what we affectionately referred to as the elephant cage. These things were huge, just absolutely phenomenal.
So this place was not in a population center, it was out someplace.
Yeah, it was out in the middle of the English countryside, more or less. RAF Chexans was close to this city of Bedfordshire.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily mean to get you off the track, Bill. I just really wanted to fill that out a little bit more in detail, because that's a fairly good distance from the Soviet bloc countries.
Yeah, it really is. But these antennas that they were using were extremely sensitive.
It's amazing in itself. Okay, go ahead with your story.
Well, basically that was my job. I had just gotten out of the Army. I was ex-Special Forces. And my wife at the time was a school teacher for Department of Defense dependent schools, and she had just taken a transfer to this base in England, and I was a dependent husband at that point. And when we arrived at the base, I had the occasion to meet one of my former commanding officers, who asked me if I'd like a job, and I accepted. And I was hired on as a data analyst for a National Security Agency.
Now, a data analyst, what would you do? You would get either the reports or the copies or the tapes of the stuff coming in, and you'd analyze it, huh?
Essentially, yeah. We would take and compare radio transmission messages and analyze the material and make a determination whether there was a military activity or individual movement of some kind with officials from Soviet bloc nations, and we would assign what we call the probability rating to this material. A percentage factor is whether or not it was true.
Oh, that's interesting. They ask you to make a judgment then.
Yeah, basically that was it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now how does this get into interest of UFOs?
Well, during the course of my duties there, I was asked to analyze a document that we had received via diplomatic pouch from the American Embassy in Moscow. And in this diplomatic pouch, the document was there, was entitled Grudge Blue Book 13, Project Grudge Blue Book 13. And the material that was in the document was pretty incredible information. And essentially what it was everything that the United States government knew about aliens and UFOs and recovered UFOs.
Has the same name of the stuff that Major Keyhole many years before had been dealing with. Is this carrying on from that, the same type of blue book thing?
Well, not specifically. Mm-hmm. There were three projects, Project Sign, Grudge, and then Project Grudge became Project Blue Book. And this document was a combination of all of the information that they had gathered through Project Grudge and Project Blue Book. But it was material that had never been released publicly and was never going to be released publicly. This was an interagency document.
Now, you had never seen this type of thing before, even though I guess you had to have a security clearance of some sort to be there, right?
Oh, yeah. I had a very extremely high security clearance, but I had never seen this kind of stuff before. In fact, at that point, I had absolutely no interest whatsoever in UFOs. My life basically centered around my family and the few hobbies that I had and my job.
Are you able, Bill English, to tell me and our listeners some of the things that are in this thing? Or?
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Well, we want to get into what you're doing now as well, which is interesting. But we got some pretty incredible things coming up here, folks, so stay tuned. From his hotel room at the Holiday Inn in Phoenix, Bill English, who's there for the convention. Okay, now when we went to the break, you were talking about the blue book fell into your hands and it had some incredible things about UFOs. You really weren't even interested in this. You worked at a secret installation in England for the National Security Agency. What type of things are we talking about in this report?
Well, essentially what we're talking about, Jerry, is in the report were photographs of captured aliens. Color and black and white photographs. There was photographs of autopsies that were being performed on aliens, photographs of recovered craft, material which dealt with human mutilations as a result of UFO contact.
Now, I hadn't heard that part. I've heard about cattle mutilations and things like that, but But they, you know, all the stories you hear about the contact with vegan beings, it always seems to be fairly safe, but that's not the case, huh?
No, it's not. And as time goes by, we've discovered that the abductions that have been taking place are not as friendly as we had at first thought they might have been, based on a lot of information that had been passed along by, you know, countless people. As a matter of fact, it appears that the majority of the contacts are anything but friendly.
See, I haven't heard a lot about that, so you need to maybe fill some of the details in on that. Are we talking about the little gray guys?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we are. We're talking about the little gray guys in a combination of several different classifications of aliens.
What other classifications are you? Most of our listeners probably have seen the pictures of the gray short beings with the ball hair and the big eyes that just seem to pierce right through you.
Well, the short little gray guys are the most common, but we also have classification of what they've referred to in the past as reds, or red-headed humanoid aliens that resemble humans very closely, or blonde aliens. There are also several different types of...
Now, when you say red and blonde, excuse me, Bill, I just have to ask you this. So when you say red and blonde, are these red and blondes, are they more humanoid?
Yeah, very much so. In fact, they look extremely human in their appearance.
And immediately when you said the reds, I thought of the Vikings and those type of invaders. Would you compare the reds to that type of...
In actuality, many contactees have described them as almost Nordic in appearance.
That's amazing. And same, how about the behavior? Are the reds more aggressive or less aggressive than the grays?
Well, the reds seem to be more aggressive than the grays, but also the grays seem to, from the information we've been able to gather together over the years, seem to be subservient to the reds. And in many cases, the two have been seen together, and the red seems to be supervising the gray aliens.
That's surprising. I'd always figured the grays were the supreme beings, all brain and mental telepathy. But you're saying the more human characteristic aliens seem to be in charge.
It would appear to be that way, yeah. But also you have to bear in mind that there are different types of grays, and that majority of contact reports, the grays do seem to be the aliens that are doing the majority of the abduction.
This is Jerry Pippin on the line from the National New Age Alien Agenda and Cosmic Conspiracies Conference in Phoenix, Arizona, at the Holiday Inn there on I-17. We have Bill English. Bill's telling us an incredible story, and Bill, we're going to follow up more on that in a moment here, but I have two thoughts before we get into that. And by the way, I find this story incredibly hair-raising.
It is very incredible.
And, you know, and the two things that we want to talk about here before we get back to your story is, first of all, you and I talked about maybe the fringe type people at this conference, like William Cooper, for one. He has a theory that the UFOs and the New World Order are somehow connected.
Well, his story has changed continually over the past 5 years. Originally, it started out that it was a government conspiracy, and then it transferred over to trilateralist conspiracy, and as I understand it, he's now blaming the Masons.
Oh, I hadn't heard this latest chapter.
Oh, yeah.
The Masonic Lodge, then.
Yeah, he's now blaming the Masons for being involved in a trilateralist conspiracy with UFOs.
Right. But now, in your research and your experience, which we'll get to, what did this secret government report, were these aliens, they obviously weren't a trilateral commission members, I don't think.
Well, no, I don't believe they were.
But do you know where these people come from? Maybe I shouldn't use the term people, these aliens. Or are they people?
Well, over the years, there's been a lot of evidence that indicates that there are various different places where they come from. In the report, there was no real clear indication of what star system, if in fact that's what they came from, or, you know, what part of the galaxy or anything. In some cases, over the years, it's been theorized that they've come from Zeta Reticuli or whatever.
Now, that is a star system far away, or where?
Well, the star system, which in the books is listed as being about 36 light years from Earth, and it's probably the closest star system to our solar system at this point. And I, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm not an astronomer, so I can't give you a qualified opinion on that.
Right, I think Alpha Centauri and some others are closer, but we don't know if they have a solar system.
That may well be.
Right now, so many things I want to ask. I think probably we got a lot of phone callers. Let's sneak a few phone calls as we go along in, if it's okay with you, Bill.
That's fine with me.
Okay, from Medford, Oregon. Ken, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I got a couple questions for your guest.
Okay, Bill, can you hear Ken?
Yes, I can hear him fine. Hi, Ken.
Now, Bill, where was this post you were monitoring and assessing information?
I was located at RAF Chick Sands in Bedfordshire, England.
To the best of your knowledge, if you can answer this thing with a good conscience,
sure.
How much did we share information with the British and with the French, or the NATO complex?
Very little, if possible.
Very little, if possible. Now, what year was this you were there?
I was there from 1974 to 1977.
Well, the item in my mind goes back 53 years, in which something entered a reservoir in south central England, and they had royal divers and their right from the armed services were, and they measured it. It was about 50 yards by about 30 yards wide in this reservoir, and the divers went down and they couldn't find an aperture or an opening of any kind to get into it, but it was metallic. They ascertained that, and to check any possibility of contamination, they drained the reservoir and they could not find a thing, and there were people in attendance at all time. Some have reasoned out this on the case of resonance, in which we have an dimensional shift by harmonics, in which we can transpose. So time travel is nothing more than frequencies of harmonics interfacing.
Yeah, Ken, I've heard that theory before. What about this, Bill English? Are these time travelers, these space people?
I don't know, to be honest with you. Over the years, I've heard so many different theories.
No, I'm not saying backward or forward. I'm saying that all time is only relative to where you are at that particular...
Are you referring to interdimensional?
Interdimensional, yes. And uh-huh. Inter and interdimensional, merely by an interface and harmonics, universal harmonics.
Well, there are two schools of thought that the aliens could very possibly be from another dimension, and frankly, we have no real proof of that at this point.
The thing that's closest to that would be what is called apports, in which from a bell jar, and I believe it was Lear, transposed one flower from one bell jar to another through harmonics.
You know, you're getting into an area that I really don't have a heck of a lot of.
That's pretty deep, Ken.
And thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Ken. I've heard those theories along the line. What about official government book that you saw, Bill? What, did they have any theories? Did they say where these aliens were from? And you talked about some that were captured. Do you think there's still some in existence right now?
Well, I don't know if there are any that are alive, but I do know that the government at some place have the bodies. The material that I viewed showed that very clearly, that they had the bodies and that they had performed autopsies on several of them. There was a photograph that I remember very clearly of some aliens that were standing against a wall covered with white tile, that were very confused, or look apparently confused, and they obviously were very much alive at the time. Now, I don't know if they still are alive or if they are still in existence or whatever, but at that point when that photograph was taken, it was clear that they were alive.
Now, they obviously had superior technology. How did we capture them? They have accidents or crashes or something?
Apparently the majority of the recoveries were brought about because of either crashes or what seemed to be electrical interference of some type or another. Most of the recoveries took place during electrical-type storms.
You would think with space and time technology like they must have had to go light years, that they would have something to guard against electrical storms. But
there are a number of theories as to the type of propulsion that these craft had. But it seems that the majority of them were electromagnetic in nature. And, of course, you know what happens when a bolt of lightning goes off. It creates an electrostatic interference.
Did they not have electrical storms in these other worlds, or do you have any idea?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, this may have been completely foreign to them.
It may well have been. And, of course, this is strictly conjecture at this point. It's just one of many possibilities.
You're still in the UFO business now, right?
I am very much.
Okay, let's talk about that. That's pretty incredible. That's what we talked about last night. Did they have a prime directive talking about Star Trek? Did these aliens, is that the reason they're staying away from us, Bill English?
I have no idea.
I mean, was there a theory in the classified material in your experience with aliens that...
No, if they had any kind of directive, it would appear to study us and use whatever means was available to them to accomplish that, up to and including mutilating the subject, if that's what it took.
Now, when they mutilate, do they just remove things, or do they actually chop people, remove an arm or leg or something?
Well, right now I have several thousand files on our data system, which indicates that over a period of 40 years, they have taken several hundred individuals and killed them, in point of fact, to remove body parts and in various ways and in various forms.
So in other words, your evidence, and you have it available, your research tells you and the reports you have tells you that these people are not benign, these space creatures.
Oh, no, if anything, they are anything but benevolent.
Are we facing some major attack from them in the possible future?
I'm not sure. It's a possibility, however I doubt it. I think, if anything, what will happen at some point within the fairly near future, and that being anywhere between 5 and 10 years, we could very possibly have a very public contact with these aliens, or aliens possibly more benevolent.
Now, I have heard these theories before, and they're pretty rampant in some circles of the UFO committee right now, Bill English, and that maybe our government officials and some of these alien beings are in contact right now, and they'll be coming, going public.
Well, I'm not going to stick my neck out and say that, yes, it's going to happen, because, in point of fact, we don't know for sure. However, there are indications that it's a very real possibility that at some point within the near future it could happen.
Let's talk about your service. You update these files all the time. Why don't you just start from the first and tell us what you do?
We have an extensive UFO database. These files cover everything from contactees to sightings to mutilations, animal mutilations, human mutilations, everything that we have on UFO.
I know there's people out there that'd be interested in this. Bill, actually, you live in New Mexico, right, where a lot of these sightings have occurred.
Yes, I do. I live in Cloudcroft, New Mexico.
You know, you were talking about that they seem to be affected by electrical storms. Maybe that explains why there's a lot of sightings in New Mexico and Kansas and Texas and things like that.
It's possible. We have rather spectacular electrical storms at certain times of the year.
I've been through many of them traveling out in your part of the country. Beautiful, beautiful area, but it can snow pretty hard there, too.
It sure can.
Bill, are those sightings going on?
Oh, there's sightings happening every day. And unfortunately, it does take us a little time to get these reports in.
Now, what kind of aliens are being sighted in the recent sightings? The same types?
Generally, they fall within the same basic categories, yeah, for the contactees.
Now, did you ever come in contact personally with a UFO?
I have never seen a UFO in my life.
And no alien being?
No, I've never seen an alien being, and for years and years and years, I had to admit that I'd never seen a UFO until 3 years ago, and that was a rather odd situation involving a good friend of mine named John Lear.
Yeah.
And it's quite a story. It's quite an involved story.
Well, we only got about a minute here. So.
I know.
Well, to make a long story short, you saw this, was it a saucer or was it a cigar-shaped craft?
Well, no. In point of fact, it was an unidentified flying object, and it was very hard to distinguish any kind of shape to it.
But you're now, of course, you've always been a believer because of this classified information you came up on.
Right.
Hey, Bill, we're going to continue this conversation another time. It's just incredible. I have a lot of people on the phones that wanted to ask you questions, but I thought it was important that we got out this information.
Jerry, I'd like to thank you for inviting me on your show.
It was great. It's very interesting. And a final thought, if you had to put odds on it, would you say that these alien beings are friendly or not so friendly? I mean, the future happenings, is it going to be better or worse?
I think it's going to be worse.
You do. So we're going to have to follow this up a little bit more. Find out if there's anything we could do to protect ourselves from this phenomenon. Thanks a lot, Bill English. This is Jerry Pippin. We'll be back.